All right. Hear me okay? Good, thank you. So I wanted to offer some instructions. And just to offer some broader context, I know many of you are familiar with these practices of the establishment of mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness, and we're are practicing with these foundations with this in this retreat. Yesterday, being introduced to the body. Today, the second foundation of feeling tones, or in Pali called Vedana, which means to feel and to know. So it has a quality of a physical and a mental element, if you will. But it's honest to say that each of these foundations, the body, the feeling tones, tomorrow, mind states, are all interconnected. Because we are mind-body organisms. The sensations within the body and other senses, there's different feeling tones of experience, there's different thoughts, different emotions. But each day here we're kind of shining a flashlight on one in particular to really hone in on it, if you will. It is said that these foundations of mindfulness are a direct way to experience deeper awakening. The Buddha taught about these four foundations of mindfulness and said that if you practice these diligently within 7 years, you will attain enlightenment. And then I think some of the monastics looked up and said, 7 years? And so then he said, 6 years. And then 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, 11 months, getting better. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 month. So there's this whole dialogue that gradually comes down to 1 month. If you practice these foundations of mindfulness, it will support awakening. But then it goes down to 3 weeks, 2 weeks, even 1 week. So no pressure. There's a great story about pressure of Ananda, who I mentioned earlier, who had this type of memorizing type of mind that memorized all of the, remembered all of the different teachings that the Buddha taught. And again, that's why when you look at the canonical literature, it says, thus have I heard. That's Ananda then repeats what the Buddha taught. And so the story goes after the Buddha's death, Ananda was to meet with 500 fully enlightened beings, arahants, in Pali it's called, enlightened beings, which means the destroyer of the enemies. What enemies? Greed, hatred, and ignorance. And he was to meet with them, and he also recognized that he was still not enlightened, and so he wanted to get enlightened because it'd be kind of embarrassing to go to this meeting with 500 fully enlightened beings and he's not enlightened, so the pressure was on him. And so he's sitting and walking and sitting and walking and bringing mindfulness to different activities, and the days are getting closer, and it's the last day of practice before the meeting was to happen the next day. Practicing all day long, getting late into the night. Still, not much is happening. And this is very kind of humorous but wise teaching story, as these all are, many of them are. Where he finally realized it's not going to happen, and he's sitting on his bed and realizes he has to rest because he's got this big meeting the next day. And the story goes that he finally just let go of trying to get anywhere. And on the distance between sitting on the bed to his head hitting the pillow, somewhere along that way, or maybe it was the pillow itself, there was this realization, this awakening, this understanding. So it's so interesting, this sense of striving and efforting. And when is it wise to make effort? When effort that it's important to exert when exertion is needed. when is it wise, if you will, to take your foot off the gas pedal? And so that we're learning about wise effort. Exerting when exertion is needed. Backing off when backing off is needed. These teachings speak and point to the middle way, the middle path. That wise type of meeting the moment. And we're learning about it through our own direct experience. And sometimes we learn by hindsight. I was mentioning in the fireside chat last night that sometimes, you know, we come to a crossroad and, do I take a right, a left, go straight, back up? And so sometimes it's like, I'm going to take a left. And then you take a left and you realize after you've taken a left that you should have taken a right, but you wouldn't have known that unless you've taken the left. So we call this kind of like hindsight wisdom. We're learning from our own direct experience. And before I get into the second foundation, I want to also just speak very importantly about this sense of our attitude, how we hold the practice. And after many years of practicing, I've come to really understand, for me, the importance of kind attending. And I could say that in the first half of my practice time, which is now, you know, going 40 plus years, I had these ideas about what it was to be made of the right meditative stuff, and that was to be hard on myself and critical and judgmental, and not realizing for a long time I was bringing this deep embedded conditioning into even to how I was practicing. As one meditation teacher says, bringing in that subtle aggression of self-improvement that continues to wrap our lives in a knot. Ooh, did I know that well. Wrapping our lives in a knot. Very familiar. And having a very hard head, as a metaphor goes, like you could say the first 20 years was hitting my head against the wall, but being that the head was hard, I wasn't feeling very much of anything. And it took like about 20 years to realize, that kind of hurts. And it's been a practice of softening ever since. The kind attending, the attitude, the environment of how we practice, to me, is so important. Pema Chodron has a beautiful teaching story about this, where she speaks about training a puppy to learn a few essential commands like stay and sit and so forth. And you can train a puppy in a very harsh and rigid and punishing environment, and that puppy will eventually learn, you know, fairly much those commands. And but often when you're brought up in an environment that's punishing, the disposition of the dog often becomes kind of neurotic and confused. And by contrast, you could also train a dog in a very kind environment, a very not punishing, in a way that's kind, that's supportive. And, you know, in time, that puppy will learn, you know, some of the commands. But often when you're brought up in an environment that's not punishing, not demanding, that's encouraging, is supporting, you begin to grow up with greater confidence. The disposition of those dogs become more confident and flexible. And I love that as a teaching. Would we like to practice in such a way that develops our confidence and flexibility rather than becoming more neurotic and confused? What would it be like to begin to develop greater confidence and flexibility, meeting when our mind goes off the thousandth time that we, at least now I'm aware that it wandered off and bringing it back. It's all in our conditioning and our perspective. We look at a cup and some will say it's half full, others half empty. How we see it. So we can cultivate that quality of kind attending. Mind going off, bringing it back kindly. At least acknowledging it, at least not critically. And every time that we begin to practice in this way, it's beginning to interrupt some of the deeper embedded conditioning. And through repetition and practice, we can begin, as the neuroscientists say, the neurons that fire together begin to wire together, that we can begin to rewire, that the kind attending begins to become more. What are we feeding here? What are we feeding? Are we feeding that conditioning that wraps our lives in a knot, or can we begin to develop new pathways with heartfulness, the kind attending? So I just want to invite that in for those of us that feels resonant. And so in regards to this second foundation, which is called feeling tones or the valence, in Pali, the Vedana, this has to do with like immediate, there's a certain type of immediacy of a feeling. And I know a really good one. I was reflecting on it earlier today. That when I have on my mask, at times it's an unpleasant feeling tone. And then when I go outside and take it off, there's an immediacy of like, oh, pleasant. And in our lives, as we sit here, there's so many different weather systems, some that are pleasant, some that are unpleasant, some that are actually neither pleasant nor unpleasant. They're more neutral. So this second foundation is bringing the flashlight of awareness to these feeling tones of experience that are rising and passing. Just like the breath that comes in and goes out, also revealing this mark of change, so too these feeling tones are like weather systems. And in Buddhist psychology, there's a teaching about reactivity. And early in the chain of reactivity are these feeling tones. They're like precursors, or they're earlier, like a dynamo. When you get dominoes, when you hit one, it begins to hit the other, if they're all lined up. And so early in that domino of reactivity is feeling tones. And so if we could become mindful of them, we potentially can begin to circumvent a whole bunch of reactivity. So, for example, last night I was sitting and I was, to be very honest, I was feeling an experience of as an excruciation. Anybody know excruciation? I don't know if I can stand another minute of this stuff with this mask on. But then here's an unpleasant feeling tone. And in that moment, there was still that suffering, but there was something that shifted because I became aware of it and I acknowledged it. If I didn't see that, it would just go on and on. And the stories begin to go, why don't they do this? Why don't we take the test now? And all these type of things. But okay, catching this early on, or whenever it is that you catch it, in that moment, I'm interrupting the reactive process. This is called in Buddhist psychology, dependent origination, in Pali, paticca samuppada. My teacher, Tenpo Lucero, used to have a very pithy way of explaining it that I'm very fond of. So in this cycle of reactivity, and what he would say is that if you know, K-N-O-W, if you know, you can break the cycle. If you don't know, you will go around and around. So that knowing moment, oh, here's excruciation. Here's not wanting it to be the way that it is, but now I see it. I'm naming it. I'm acknowledging it. I'm even beginning to get a little curious about it. Like, what is this about this that just gives this feeling of excruciation? You can say, I have some sense of like, with the practice, I'm beginning to meet it, if you will, in a different way. So as we sit with ourselves, no doubt you have been experiencing many different feeling tones, pleasant ones, unpleasant ones, some that are just barely noticeable. They're more neutral or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So there's a certain immediacy, a gut reaction, you could say. And of course, at times they get intertwined with our thoughts and emotions and our stories and our narratives, and it's affecting our bodies. So it's not to say they're totally separate, they're interconnected. But today, really becoming aware of these early beginning activations. Oh, here's unpleasant. Oh, here's pleasant. And to pause and to acknowledge it, to experience it. Perhaps begin to experience how it has its beginning that we may not have seen, but we're in the middle of it and it's here. But just allowing and acknowledging. You notice I'm not using the word accepting, because that might be very difficult to accept it, but can I at least acknowledge this is unpleasant? And it has its beginning, middle, and ending with all things. So we're beginning to expand this awareness and feeling the different tones of experience and acknowledging and letting be. You notice I'm not using the word letting go. If you knew how to let go, we would have done it years ago. Whispering those words of wisdom, letting it be. Allow. Dana Falls, the poet, says, resist and the tides will sweep you off your feet. Allow, and grace will carry you to higher ground. That sense of allowing, acknowledging, letting be, different feeling tones rising and passing. As far as the practicality of this practice, there's couple of ways you can work with it. One is just continue being in the body with either the breath or listening to sounds or feeling sensations, and sooner or later, no doubt about it, there'll be a feeling tone in there. And in that moment, just being aware, oh, this is pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. So we could practice with it that way, or we could actually bring our awareness to feeling tones in of itself. And it's not like you're going to try to make them happen, just letting things be, perhaps just, yes, being with the breath a bit and just being aware of how these feeling tones, they come and they go. For example, right now, what's being felt? What type of feeling tone is here? Perhaps a little bit in the spectrum of more of a pleasant or maybe an unpleasant, maybe neutral. Continuing just to be curious, to be present, and you'll see that in time it changes. There's a refrain that's found within the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, that whatever arises, passes, the origination, the dissolution. And so too, these feeling tones have their beginnings and endings. And again, wherever you recognize that a feeling tone is present, is prominent in that cycle, whether it's been around for a while, whether it's earlier on or late, doesn't matter. Once you're aware, oh, here's a feeling tone, with that moment, the interruption is taking place of that conditioning that's so embedded in the reactive cycle. Now that I'm awake, let me acknowledge what I'm awake to. Let me meet it. Let me let it be. Let me allow. Let me be curious. Experience it. And it comes and eventually goes. And of course, if anything comes up that's just getting too intense, we really want to support your own inner resources to take care of yourself. If you need to open your eyes, need to shift mindfully and gently, taking good care. So again, here's this kind attending coming in to infuse the practice, to holding it with great kindness. There's one teacher that says that there's three important principles to live your life by. And he said the first is to be kind, and then the second is to be kind, and the third is to be kind. Let that infuse and hold the environment. As we go into the silence now, being present.